You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge. Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. It is a Tuesday morning, a little bit different for us. David Goss here with me, very comfortable in his normal position. And by normal position, I mean back in the chair. We've let you to move up here, up in the world.
I just thought you forgot because you came off a vacation weekend and forgot how you operate.
It could happen.
Let me sneak in.
Folks out there may be a little confused. You might have been looking for the show on Monday. Of course, Labor Day weekend delayed that a little bit. And plus, we wanted to preview this Trinidad and Tobago game. I'm just kidding. We just didn't want to come into the office on Labor Day. We were relaxing like you were. Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle, still relaxing. Somewhere in the octagon, perhaps in the octagon. Maybe, refereeing a little kitty battle, but he's not here today with us. We let him sleep in just a little bit because we're doing this one early. The reason being there are a bunch of big World Cup qualifiers in CONCACAF on Tuesday night. The big one for U.S. fans, 8 p.m. Eastern, Trinidad and Tobago in Jacksonville, Everbank Stadium. The scenarios are not that complicated, but basically what it boils down to is unless the U.S. lose, they're for sure through to the hex. If they lose, Guatemala has to hope for a miracle. 13-goal differential to make up, and they've got a win against St. Vincent and the Grenadines as well, which I think most people would expect them to do. But Carlos Ruiz has to go crazy. El Pescadito has to have a full net.
The current active international soccer leading goal scorer on the planet, Carlos Ruiz.
Yes.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, no, men's. No, it's a good point. But Carlos Ruiz.
Yeah.
We need to say that again. The active all-time goal scorer tied with who else? Who?
I think his name starts with an R.
Ronaldo?
Do you pronounce
Cristiano
it Ronaldo?
Ronaldo?
Is that how you pronounce
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think you probably okay. do. I mean, that's incredible. I rewatched this. This is like CONCACAF nerd territory here. I rewatched Guatemala, Trinidad, and Tobago this weekend just for fun, just to watch Carlos Ruiz. And then I put on Twitter, hey, FC Dallas, go sign Pescadito, bring him back because he would kill it for you in CCL.
Oh, man.
And he has the veteran chops to be like your
he's
new Blas
Perez
off the bench. Dallas fans weren't that happy with that suggestion. Oh, look, I know he's old, but God, it's Carlos Ruiz. How fun would it be if he was back in MLS?
The one thing, though, for the U.S., though, is if they do not win, they do not win the group.
Right, and that's a big deal.
Under this format, since 1998, they have never not won their group in the semifinal round. So there's something to play for.
Yeah,
the
win is necessary. It's not just about the honor of winning your group. We're not looking around being like, look, we got to finish first because it matters in the semifinal round. No, it's about seeding. It's about schedule. It's about the way the hex goes.
FIFA rankings.
Uh-huh. If they win, and they've got to win the group. There's just Trinidad and Tobago is a point up on them on 11 points, so they have to win the group. If they win their opening match of the Hex, oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay. Cold weather, November 11th, against who? Guess who? El Tri?
Yes.
El Tri. So you could get a
I wonder where they'll play that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, you could get a November match against El Tri. That's a big deal. You want to have a cold weather match, maybe Columbus? I don't know.
Well, that was the cycle 2010 World Cup qualifying cycle. Yeah. They started out with that game. Bradley scored the two goals. Mm-hmm. It was the fall/winter-ish game
right.
to begin the cycle. And then you get the W over them to start, and it's the perfect way to start.
Right.
I'm not saying they're going to win.
Right. Let's not counting that just yet. Yeah. First, they've got a win on Tuesday night. Once again, 8 p.m. Eastern against Trinidad and Tobago. This one being played in Jacksonville. You can watch it on FS1. Of course, all the coverage right here, MLSsoccer.com. We've got the long and the short of it for you. Let's talk about this game. Some personnel changes for the U.S. Matt Beisler headed back to Kansas City. In case you missed it, he scored his first ever international goal against St. Vincent and the Grenadines. On that very same day, his first child was born back in Kansas City. Parker Beisler, unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to get back. He said the baby came 2 weeks early, and it was a risk he knew he was taking. But, quote, you've got to live your life. he went straight back to Kansas City. He is now with his child. That was really cool for him. The whole team doing the is it a bassinet or is it just
the cradle?
Just the cradle?
Yeah, it's the cradle.
I don't know why I went bassinet.
I don't know why you did
either.
That's
a step too far probably. But a nice goal for him. He brought off the chest, poked it in.
Yeah.
Terrible defending. Terrible defending from St. Vincent. But that's just the way it goes.
That happens.
Well done for him. Well done for him. DeAndre Yedlin will not play in this game. He's suspended. He got a yellow card in that match. That'll rule him out. So they'll have to figure out what they're going to do at right back. It could be Orozco. He is back after that suspension, as is Michael Bradley.
It could be Fabian Johnson.
It could be anyone.
It could be Steve Birnbaum. There are a few options. I don't think any of them are ideal. The one I would say is there's no chance Jeff Cameron's going over there. He's played there in his life, but he's a center back.
I think he is your lock stock center back on this team right now. He's the guy who's locked it down. I think if Brooks is there, based on the performance in the Copa America, it'd be him and Brooks.
Yeah.
But Brooks not there. As we know, he is still back in Germany. He had that little niggling injury that kept him out. This is a big game for him. They also expected to win. Doyle kind of harps on this all the time, like, hey, yeah, you know, these are tough games in CONCACAF, but the U.S. should win. And as an example, the U.S. against Trinidad and Tobago in World Cup qualifiers, 11-1-3. Against Trinidad in World Cup qualifiers on home soil, 11-0-1, have not lost. So
I have no problem with what the U.S. has done so far. They beat Guatemala handily at home. They beat St. Vincent and the Grenadines handily at home and handily on the road. They drew at Trinidad and Tobago, and they lost at Guatemala. I know that Trinidad and Tobago is a better team than Guatemala, but Guatemala is a tougher away trip. So those are the results. If you laid it out for me and said, pick a result for each game before this started, Mike Francesa style, just given wins and losses,
yeah.
I think that's how you would like to say, yeah, they're going to get a tough W in Trinidad or a draw in Guatemala, but that's kind of how you'd see it. If they win this game, they've done what they've had to do throughout this round, and there's no problem with that. They went out and they did work last week on Friday against St. Vincent.
Which they should do because they're 178th in the world.
Right.
But like that field was it was public park-esque. You know, it's a nice-looking stadium for cricket probably, but there's that big patch in the middle that the U.S. basically didn't play through. If you looked at their pass map, there was just this big square of emptiness, and that's because nobody wanted to mess around with the turf in the middle of the field. It was just too tough for them. But you're right. They did what they have to do. They're expected to win against Trinidad and Tobago. In just a second, we will talk to ESPN FC's Jeff Carlisle about that trip, about what's going down with the U.S., and about Christian Pulisic. Because that's what everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. Somehow we made it all the way to this point, however many minutes into the show, 7.5 minutes into the show, and we didn't talk about the guy that has everyone buzzing. And for good reason. He comes off the bench. He scores two bangers. Like, just
well, the first
quality
one,
goals.
Hold on.
Are you going to say that was accidental?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to poo-poo the second one more than the first one. The first one, the first touch, is phenomenal. It's the outside of the right foot to control it, but still bringing it into his path for the left foot to take the shot. Where it's like normally the outside of the right foot pushes it wider.
Right.
Doesn't kill his angle at all. Also, like,
so smooth.
Yeah, like, there's no bounce on it. It's amazing.
And there's no bounce, and I definitely think that that's technically down to him, but I also think there's an element of like the field and it being a little...
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying... Let's just back up. It was an amazing goal.
And he's never played it in a way CONCACAF qual. Like, he's never experienced that stuff before. So the field is even tougher for a guy like that. The second one is a phenomenal goal that you love to see, that there's a player in the U.S. national team pool who has no questions about, if you leave me open from the top of the box, I'll put it in a corner. Now, in saying that, he was wide open from the top of the
box. Sure. Look, the
defending, that was a free throw.
Right. That's a good. He had a couple times to dribble.
Yeah.
Got his feet underneath him.
But it should be. That goal, Landon Donovan scores every single time. Not everyone in the U.S. pool scores that goal every single
time. And
the
recognition to take it. The thing we have to mention here, Christian Pulisic had a great game, and he was off the bench. And the U.S. basically had this thing wrapped up. So it's not like he came in some pressure situation. Sasha Kljestan and Christian Pulisic looked like they had the same brain.
Yeah.
Like, they two very, very smart soccer players who basically ran St. Vincent and the Grenadines off the field when they came in together. And this wasn't like within the context of the team, which, it was. But it was like these two, in particular, just tore them apart. And it looked like they had an understanding that they've been playing together for years and years and years. Sasha Kljestan, is he in this team against Trinidad and Tobago? Or do you bring him off the bench again? How do you integrate him in? Because he looked so good.
What's tough, though, is you're probably going to free up a spot with the Yedlin move if he puts Fabian Johnson there. unless Orozco Fiscal comes into the team. Michael Bradley's coming back, though.
Right. So he will be in the start. But I would think in for Beckerman, no?
Or do for you Bradley, yes. So, right. But then you're not pulling Bedoya out.
No, I agree.
You're not pulling Fabian Johnson out.
No.
So how does Sasha get a start is the question, formation-wise. I don't know that he fits into any of those spots. I think he'll come off the bench once again because I think he proved that he deserves more minutes, and this is his second chance, and he took advantage of the first one. And depending on how the game goes, the game could go one of two ways. If they're up, you put him in to give him a chance. If they're down, you put him in because he just created two goals in the last game. So I think either way, he's getting it.
Yeah, and look, there is a you know, take this with a grain of salt because it is St. Vincent and the Grenadines. It is the 178th ranked team in the world. So to come in and say you can't, it's not like, hey, Sasha Kljestan's going to do this against everybody else. But we know how good he is. If you watch MLS, you understand the quality he brings, and he brought it in this game. Good for him. Christian Pulisic is the guy that people are actually clamoring for starts, saying, why isn't this guy starting? Look at his quality. Why not? He's 17. He said in the aftermath of all this that things are happening very, very quickly, which is an understatement. He just broke into Dortmund not even a year ago.
Yeah.
Pushed through, became this kind of hot stuff prospect, had to endure a summer. I mean, this had to endure a summer of world-class clubs being interested in his services and offering multi-millions of dollars for him. But that's 0 to 60. That's 0 to 100. That's 0 to, like, 150. You don't start him, do you? There's no way.
I just don't see why. You got the win. You have guys who are capable of starting in their place. Although I think Zusi might be something that we should discuss as well, because the performances in MLS and then the amount of time he's getting with the national team does not seem to match up. And that's the one guy, not the one guy, but one of the guys that I think was confusing to a lot of people. But you got the result. You have a team capable of getting the result once again. I don't see the reason why.
Yep.
You're getting him experience, but he's going to get playing time
anyway.
Why
rush it?
Why rush it? And we know that Jurgen feels that way because we've seen him say things like that in the past about young players.
Right. Well, and he said after this, he's like, look, we're going to give it to him when he's ready.
Right.
And we're going to make sure it's the right time, and we're going to make sure he's comfortable. And he's walking into a situation he can succeed in and build from.
Which a lot of people responded with, well, he's played in major games in Germany in front of bigger crowds than he will in this one.
I mean,
probably under more pressure than this one.
Sure, major games, like, you can count them on less than five fingers.
Yeah,
like,
but you might be able to do that for some of these guys in their whole careers. I mean, not major games,
sure,
but you're saying in front of crowds like that with pressure like that.
Yeah, I get that. But he didn't have any what pressure on him in that situation? He plays for Dortmund. He's the 17-year-old kid on the field. It's all
but
gravy.
But on the flip side, you're the 17-year-old kid getting into a Champions League game. You have to prove yourself. You can't mess up. In saying that, and then, you know, Trinidad and Tobago, not the biggest crowd. There's pressure on this game. You want to win it, but there's no way Guatemala is going to score 13, so you don't need to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people are in that camp where they're like, well, this is the perfect chance. I'm in the other camp where I think that you don't want to rush it.
No,
you don't want to push him too
fast. I agree. Let it come naturally, and remember, a lot of crazy stuff has to happen for the U.S. not to go through the hex. If they win or draw, they're through. If they win, first place in the group. If they draw, second place in the group. If they lose, Guatemala have to win. And they've got to make up 13 goals on the differential side. So pretty much locked through. If we're looking at the other groups here, Mexico is in, Costa Rica is in, Panama is in, Trinidad and Tobago are in. The U.S. and Honduras are right on the brink of being in, the U.S. more so than Honduras. We'll talk about Canada in just 1 second. But let's go to our man who is on the ground in, well, paradise, Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC, at Jeff Carlisle on Twitter. Jeff, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I haven't been stuck on a plane for the better part of a day. I saw your travel log there, planes, trains, and automobiles. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay now. I got a good night's sleep last night, and it was odd because I was actually on a red eye from Trinidad to Newark, and I, for whatever reason, I couldn't sleep at all. But then on the flight from Newark to San Francisco, I was able to, you know, get a little shut eye, and, you know, that kind of started the recovery a bit there. But it was a long couple days, that's for sure.
Just a couple short flights, no big deal. But I'm looking around on the internet, and Grant Wall is front page news in St. Vincent on their newspaper. Where were you at, man? Where's your headline?
Well, Grant got there ahead of me, so and I think he kind of, you know, took one for the journalistic team there because he complained about how long it took. And I got there, I think he got there Monday. I got there Wednesday because I was in Jacksonville doing some stuff with the team there. And it was funny because at customs, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to search my bag. And, you know, it just so happened that mine was the first one off the carousel, or at least what qualifies as the carousel in St. Vincent. And the woman said, you know, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm a journalist and, you know, I'm here to cover the game on Friday. And she looked at me dead behind, said, of course you are. Handed me back my passport, told me I could walk right through. And so I have to thank Grant for kind of, you know, again, taking one for the journalistic team and, you know, easing the path for me.
Now, me and Andrew were talking about during the game, we got to do some specials on CONCACAF and the trips and the travel and the experiences. You're just as big a veteran as any of these players. Where does this rank in your CONCACAF trip experience?
Oh, the bottom. Yeah. I mean, the killer was that we were supposed to leave Saturday night and we had to fly through Trinidad and there was a 3-hour layover. So you're thinking, okay, I mean, no problem. I'm making this flight. Well, the flight out of St. Vincent was delayed. And we're thinking, oh man. So the flight out of Trinidad was supposed to leave at midnight. We leave St. Vincent at like 10:15. We're thinking, okay, we've got an hour, you know, maybe. And there's 10 people on this flight who are trying to make the same flight that Grant and I were. So we're thinking, okay, you know, maybe they hold it up for us. You know, they probably don't want us to have to overnight in Trinidad. 20 minutes into the flight, the pilot gets on the intercom and says, well, we didn't ask for clearance in Trinidad, so we have to turn around and go back to St. Vincent. I mean, that was what set this whole crazy thing in motion. And so we get off the flight, and half of the St. Vincent team is on that flight as well, trying to get to Guatemala. And so it was just like, I was just flabbergasted. I'm like, I've never, you know, I've heard of people having to turn around and go back to an airport because of mechanical problems, but this was like a procedural error. So, I mean, it was just one of those things where, and people were just irate and, you know, really upset that the St. Vincent coach was very upset with the airline and, you know, why is this happening? And so, I mean, that was what really just messed everything up, and it just pushed everything back 24 hours.
Whoopsie. Now they're going for Tuesday. They got to take on Guatemala. The U.S., meanwhile, in Jacksonville to take on Trinidad and Tobago. And the big topic of conversation, Jeff, as you can imagine here, the hype train just going bullet train style on Christian Pulisic. People saying, hey, should he start? Dave and I sitting here talking. We both agreed. No way. Where do you stand on this front? And where do you stand on just the pace of his emergence, let's say it, not just in the U.S., but in international soccer in the last 8-9 months?
Well, I'm of the camp that I think he should start. I think, especially with DeAndre Yedlin suspended for tonight's game, I think that, you know, we could see Fabian Johnson moving back, you know, into an outside back position. And so I think that's going to open up a spot on the field. And I think, you know, Christian Pulisic has done everything that's been asked of him. I mean, you know, granted, not every sub appearance has been super impactful, but I think by and large, he's checked off every box so far. So, and just the way that he and Sasha Kljestan, you know, combined and just the chemistry that they had on the field. I mean, now granted, it was against a tired, overmatched opponent, but, you know, certainly, you know, they look like they've been playing together for a decade, you know, never mind, you know, just a few minutes. So, but I think Pulisic should start. I think he's done everything that's been asked of him, you know, just in terms of, you know, the last 8 months. I mean, it is amazing that, you know, he's been able to just adapt so quickly. You know, certainly in Dortmund, you know, he's been able to get on the field in a very, very talented squad, get some goals, you know, and so I think, you know, obviously U.S. players tend to be overhyped, but I think this is one instance where Pulisic is living up to it. You know, I can understand the go-slow approach that Klinsmann is taking. And, you know, I think he looks back at Julian Green, and, you know, obviously Julian Green got that goal at the World Cup, but then, you know, the next year to 18 months has been really tough for him. And I, looking back, you wonder if Klinsmann really did a favor to Green by including him in that World Cup squad, if that wasn't the case of too much too soon. But in Pulisic's case, I think it's, you know, he's delivered on the field, and he, you know, certainly in his club situation, he's done that as well. So I think that's why I think the hype is justified, and I think the calls for him to start tonight are justified as well.
You've been around this kid for a longer while than most people. He hasn't.
Which is to say, not that long.
Right, but we haven't yet been inundated with the Christian Pulisic stories and everyone getting to know him and all of that. Him compared to the other phenoms that we talk about around U.S. soccer, both on the field but also off the field, his vibe, his personality, what have you seen from him?
Well, he doesn't lack for confidence. I asked him, you know, hey, are you ready for this? Are you ready to start? And he said, of course I'm ready to start. So, I mean, that's, you know, he could have, you know, deflected that and said, hey, well, that's up to the coach. But, I mean, he basically says he's more than ready. But I think there's confidence, but there's a recognition that he still has a long way to go. And I wouldn't call it arrogance. You know, he believes in his ability. I mean, just in given the way that he's progressed through the ranks at Borussia Dortmund, you understand why. That's a, you know, last year it was a talented roster. You know, certainly Thomas Tuchel has gotten some reinforcements this time around as well, you know, with Mario Götze and players such as that. So, you know, he's, you know, I think he's just adapting to the professional life incredibly well and better than I've seen a lot of other players. You know, everyone points back to Freddie Adu, but I mean, the number of guys that have gone over to England, that have gone over to even Holland and Germany, and not been able to really make an impact is incredibly long. And Christian Pulisic has been able to do that in a very short amount of time. So, you know, just in terms of his personality, I just think he's going to make it. I think his confidence, his ability, but also the recognition that he hasn't done anything yet, just in terms of, you know, the big picture. I think that all bodes well for why this guy is going to be a big time U.S. player for years to come.
Jeff, you kind of mentioned that unnatural connection, or that's not the right word for it. It's almost like the Vulcan mind meld between Kleshchen and Pulisic. Sasha, he comes in this game, and I get it. 178th in the world, St. Vincent the Grenadines. This is not some juggernaut that he does this against off the bench, but this is a guy that for the better part of 2 years, every time a U.S. roster comes out, everybody throws up their arms and says, why isn't Sasha there? He's got a history with the national team. He's showing what he can do on the club side. He's a creative attacking player. He gets in. He creates a couple goals. He scores one himself. Is this an indication that he's going to be around long term? Is this a sign for folks to say, hey, when that next roster comes out, regardless of Michael Bradley and Jermaine Jones' health, Sasha Kleshchen will be on it? Or is this a flash? Will he be back?
I think he should be on it, you know, but we'll see. You know, in talking to Jurgen Klinsmann last week, you know, he talked about Sasha quite a bit. And, you know, he was saying how Michael Bradley and Jermaine were kind of blocking his path. Now, I don't think their presence necessarily precludes Kleshchen being on the roster. I think given his experience and just the fact that, you know, he's played abroad, he's played in the Champions League. I just think all of that could be really beneficial to the team. So I don't think, you know, in Friday's match, he did himself any harm. I mean, you know, like you said, it's an overmatched opponent. But, you know, they could have just come on and cruised. I mean, you know, the game was already, you know, 3-4-0, you know, when he entered the match. So, but instead, you know, he and Pulisic really, you know, put the hammer down and really, I think, made a statement about, you know, we're not taking these guys lightly. We're not taking our spot on the team lightly. And I think that's something that a guy like Jurgen Klinsmann can appreciate. So, you know, you hope that Kleshchen is able to parlay this into a bigger role. I mean, now what role that actually is, you know, we'll see. But, and it was funny. I talked to Kleshchen, you know, about 10 days before the roster was named. And I asked him, you know, why haven't you been called up? Has this ever been explained to you? And he said, it's a small mystery. And there was a resignation about in his voice about, you know, he wasn't bitter, but I think more confused, you know, as to why he hadn't gotten called in. But, you know, certainly, you know, he gets the call this time. And, you know, I would love to see him and Pulisic get on the field again together in this game against Trinidad, because certainly, you know, they look like they've been playing together 10 years rather than, you know, just a few minutes.
Me and Andrew talked about it before you came on. If the U.S. wins tonight, they would host Mexico in about 2 months, November 11th, to open up the next round of qualifying. From what you've seen over the past, let's say, six or so months, qualifying Copa America, these games, is the U.S. trending in a direction where they look like they can do what we expect them to do in the hex?
I think so. But the reason I hesitate with that is, you know, it seems like every time I think, okay, you know, these guys are going in a positive direction, trending upward, we get some kind of, you know, wild result, you know, whether it's the Gold Cup semi against Jamaica or the World Cup qualifier against Guatemala, that makes you think, wow, you know, what's going on here? I mean, and that's not to say that those games should be easy, but those are games that the U.S. should win, you know, especially in the case of Jamaica when you're playing on home soil. So, you know, I think the Copa America did a lot for the team's confidence, and I think that that's always a good thing. So if I had to pick one or the other, I'd say yes, the U.S. is trending in a positive direction. But you know, certainly, I think it's still a team with a lot of questions. You know, where is this next wave, if you will, of creativity going to come from? And you know, maybe Pulisic's that guy. Maybe Sasha Kljestan, you know, can help in that as well. Certainly, with the Red Bulls, you know, Kljestan has shown that he can do that. You know, we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens in the back as well. You know, what's Fabian Johnson's position going to be, you know, if Klinsmann's got his full team? You know, is he going to stick him in midfield, you know, or is he going to keep him in the back? And, you know, questions about John Brooks as well. I mean, Klinsmann was talking about how every time, you know, out of all the players in the pool, John Brooks is one of those guys who does not handle the travel well. I mean, even though he's flying from Germany in business class, you know, his back tends to seize up. You know, he has a really hard time, I think, recovering both coming into camp and then going back to his club team. So, you know, I think that's something to keep an eye on as well, because certainly, you know, I came out of the Copa America just incredibly impressed with the progress that Brooks has made, the greater consistency that he played with. And I think he's, you know, if the U.S. is going to get to that, you know, maintain that level as one of the top one or two teams in CONCACAF during qualifying, I think Brooks is going to have to be a big part of that. So, you know, we'll see how much he's able to participate going forward.
Final match of the semifinal round for the U.S., 8 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday night, Trinidad and Tobago in Jacksonville. Full coverage, MLSsoccer.com. Of course, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at ESPNFC. Jeff, before we let you go, a couple CONCACAF hits, we'll call them here. Always drama in the region, and this is no exception. There is, I was going to say, it's not rumors. El Salvador had a press conference. They came out and they played audio of what they're saying is an attempt at match fixing. The businessman involved says, no, no chance. But basically what you're looking at here is it was either to have Canada, either to beat Canada or lose by Canada to one goal. What do you make of this? I mean, this is bizarre, but not necessarily unexpected.
The first thing you have to remember is that, you know, El Salvador has, you know, a long and recent inglorious history with match fixing. I think it was over a dozen players, you know, were banned for life back in 2013, the match fixing. So I think it's a sensitive topic, particularly with this team. And I think that's why they came out with this press conference and played the audio to say, listen, you know, we're moving well beyond this. This is not who we are. And I think that's why, you know, they're trying to show that, hey, this is, you know, whatever happened in the past is long gone. So, but it is match fixing. I think it's attempting to influence the result, you know, by an outside party. I mean, say, well, they're not telling them to lose, you know, they're just trying to tell them to either win or draw or not have a heavy defeat. But I think anytime you have an outside influence, I think it sets a dangerous precedent, you know, okay, this time he might not be asking them to lose, but what about the next time? And so, you know, I applaud the Salvadoran players for coming out and basically stating that this was going on and that they wanted no part of it and, you know, and won't be doing so in the future. Because obviously, if they're going to move forward as a footballing nation, this incident, you know, like I said, that happened a few years ago, that's something that they got to move beyond. So, you know, people might look at it as pretty harmless, but it's just a precedent that it sets. And so if they don't come out with this now, they're kind of setting themselves up to be in a vulnerable position going forward. So, you know, I think that was part of the motivation for why they held this press conference and divulged this information.
Certainly interesting stuff going on in the region right now. Jeff Carlisle, always on top of things. Follow him at Jeff Carlisle on Twitter, one of our favorites here at Extra Time Radio. Jeff, go back to bed or go do whatever you're going to do. We'll follow your stuff tonight as they play Trinidad and Tobago in Jacksonville.
All right, anytime, guys. Thanks very much.
Big thanks to Jeff for sacrificing some sack time to hang out with us. It's okay, Jeff. We still like you just as much as Grant, even though he's on the front page down in St. Vincent. We did not get a chance to ask him, though, Dave, about Canada, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the boys up north. They've got their final game against El Salvador at BC Place at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can watch that one on TSN up north. They've got a tough task ahead of them. They have to win this match, no doubt. Got to win this one. Mexico also has to win, and then they've got to make up 6 goals of goal differential somewhere. So maybe Mexico wins 3-0, they win 3-0, maybe Mexico wins 6-0, they win 1-0.
It's the exact scenario the U.S. had in the 2009 Confed Cup when Brazil beat Italy 3-0,
really?
And we beat Egypt 3-0.
Oh, wow, that's some good memory from you. Throwback.
Thank you.
Throwback Tuesday. Well played there. Now, will it actually happen? That's the question, because Canada scored 2 goals in all of World Cup qualifying semifinal round.
Yes, it will.
They lost. They lost this last game. So they're in trouble.
It'll happen.
You think?
No. I think if they can get up a goal, they're going to have to throw everything forward and put pressure on. El Salvador doesn't have what they have to play for. They're in front of their home crowd.
Also in that weird place, as Jeff said, with the match fixing stuff,
yeah,
and
right,
kind of this cloud hanging over their head.
I think there's a chance that Canada can get a multi-goal win. I don't think they can get 6, and I don't know how much Mexico's going to put on Honduras.
Because Mexico's got 15 points here.
Yeah.
They're through. They're 8 points clear of Honduras in second place.
Except the thing you have going for you is they're probably playing for national team spots. I mean, their players, one, they're playing in front of their home crowd. We know how
Azteca. Yep.
We know how their home crowd reacts when they don't play well. But you have guys, I mean, you have a team right now, for them, a lot of young guys who are trying to prove that they deserve a spot. You have a few established players, but, you know, Peralta's getting a little bit older. Vela's not part of it. Dos Santos isn't part of it.
There's some opportunities as well.
There are guys playing up top. We know that, you know, Jimenez has just made his transfer, so he's looking to establish himself. Chucky Lozano didn't have a great Olympics, so he's trying to establish himself. There are guys that can score goals that I think need to prove themselves and want to establish their spot. So there's the chance for it. But in the end of all of it, Honduras also still has something to play for.
Yeah.
And they're going to lock it down. And a 2-0 loss for them is going to be fine. And so they're still going to be defending with their lives in the 80th
minute.
Yeah,
and look, and this is what they do. They're going to be organized at the back, and then they're going to use their speed up top. They've got dynamic forwards that can hit on the break and can hit you 1v1, 1v2 even, and still make something special happen. So it's a long shot for Canada, no doubt about that. Speaking of Honduras, though, this game is at Azteca, Honduras and Mexico. Mark Geiger is officiating it, and Honduras is not happy about that fact. They requested an official change. They sent a letter and said, hey, you guys should move Mark Geiger off this match, you guys being CONCACAF themselves, basically saying that the pressure is too much for Geiger based on that Gold Cup game last year. Yeah, right. That went crazy. That was just I was there in Atlanta. It was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we make of this?
I think there's a few things you can make of it, but I think one of it's just CONCACAF, right? Every time we go down to Central America and we have a Central American referee, obviously not from the country we're playing, all of our fans say, well, why is he refereeing this game? He shouldn't be refereeing this game.
If there's a Mexico referee, for instance.
Yeah. So I just think it is what it is. It's interesting that they're not saying that, you know, he's not going to referee it fairly, that they think he can't handle the pressure. This is a guy who refereed a World Cup. He's the top
and
official
was one of the one of the best officials at that World
right.
Cup.
So that, I think, is an interesting comment coming from the Honduras FA. I think it's a bold one to make, because there's no way they think that they're going to get the switch.
No.
So they're trying
you can't. That's a precedent you can't allow.
Right. So they're trying to pull a Jesse Marsh in the media and whatever.
Right.
That's a bold thing to say to one of the dominant FAs in your region about one of their officials, to try and maybe skim a call here or there at the Azteca. It's very interesting to me. It's CONCACAF being CONCACAF.
Yeah, some mind games.
Yeah, which I love. But I don't know.
Here's an idea. I'm going to judge you on your worst moment.
Okay.
I'm going to judge all of our listeners on their worst ever moment. That's what they are as men, women, children, whatever they may be. That's what they are.
Yeah.
This logic doesn't hold up to me. That game was insane, and I'm not sure a lot of people would have handled it well.
Well, that's the other thing.
So,
I mean, what officials? How many Mexican national team games have melted down?
Right.
So can none of those officials ever referee a top-level game again? That's the question.
That is the question. A couple big games for teams in North America and CONCACAF World Cup qualifying on Tuesday night. The U.S. at 8 p.m., Canada at 10 p.m. All the coverage right here at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the weekend MLS. It's still going on. There were some big results in the playoff push.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back on Extra Time Radio. David Goss, Andrew Wiebe. I wish we had more of that.
I know. It's awesome.
It is. It
it's
is.
The way
that
it should
always be done. That is the Star-Spangled Banner on Steel Drum played down there in St. Vincent, the U.S. with a 6-0 win. We just talked about that. Canada losing in Honduras and San Pedro Sula, but they still are alive, although it's a tough slog for them. Of course, while this was going on, in the middle of it all, MLS was still rolling. There was a game on Thursday night, one that Dave was at in the Bronx, a wild 3-2 win for New York City FC against DC United. Then five games on Saturday. Let's start on Thursday. Who else? Frank Lampard. This game got crazy at the end.
Crazy. The crowd was electric.
Yeah. Frank with the goal.
Yeah.
Lamar Nagel with a goal. Frank with a goal.
I think it was 87th, 92nd, and then 94th.
Right.
It was awesome. It was fantastic. The game was not that well played throughout. It was a little bit start and stop. There was some good passing moments from NYCFC. Luciano Acosta is a superstar in the making. He is so good. 10 minutes in, I turned to my friend that I'm with, and I'm like, that guy is the best player on the field. It's not 100% yet. He beats a guy. He makes a great pass. Then it's not. It doesn't end in a shot.
I'm
going
to ask you to Luciano Acosta this, which is to say, hold off because we got some mail on this. Because Doyle's been talking crazy for a while. He's been talking crazy about Luciano Acosta.
Well, he's not a big name player like Julian Boucher yet.
I know. Well, we'll see. There's somebody in the mailbag picked out some inconsistencies in Doyle's analysis.
But the difference emotionally at the end of this game, and I can't remember the result now. But there was the result this summer when NYCFC won and David Villa was furious because of the way they ended the game. And Pirlo and Lampard looked a little bit indifferent. The end of this game, I watched on the field the fist pumps from Lampard, the way he was running up to the supporters group. Pirlo, with not as much as the other two, but an emotional reaction.
Right.
I guess probably on his level, it's equal if you do the conversion rate.
A really emotional toast after the game with
exactly.
A nice red, yes.
You could see it, though, and you can feel a little bit. I've been in that building for 2 years now, and I hadn't always felt the connection and the energy and the belief, and it's different right now, and it was pretty cool. I mean, the last goal that Lampard took was just so well done.
Yeah.
He finds the space in the hole. He rolls the ball back calmly in the 94th minute when everyone else is taking a shot just to see what happens.
Jalen Robinson dove in on a 100%. Slip and slide on that one. So a good goal from him, a good couple goals. He's still rolling up those charts.
Tough night for Jalen Robinson.
Yeah, tough night. Tough night. 44 points for New York City FC. They're atop the East on 28 games played. Right behind them, just a point back, are the Red Bulls. Also on 28 games played, 43 points. They went out to Vancouver, got their first ever win in British Columbia. 1-0, BWP with the goal. He now has 17, tied with David Villa. He now also, I believe, has the best three-year goal-scoring history in MLS.
Yeah.
Year total. This guy does it all, and Red Bulls have to be pretty confident right now.
I think this was a huge result
for
them.
No Sasha, too.
No Sasha. Huge result for them. Another grinded-out 1-0 win on a BWP goal, like that Revs game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you need to do if you're going to keep yourself in this race in the tough months.
Well, they were shipping goals there for a while.
Yeah.
And people were saying, even Sasha Kljestan was saying, this is an issue. We can't hold on to leads. Well, 2-1-0 wins, you're pretty happy with that result. And I think this team, especially, you saw the move they made, Aurelien Coulon. Look, he just didn't fit in Orlando. Period. He just didn't fit. And he fits in this team, and he's a guy who runs on confidence. And now he's confident, and the back line's working. Ronald Zubar's doing some good stuff. Yeah. I still do think they have some injury issues, but Dax is back.
Dax is back, which is huge. Sean Davis has played well. Let's take Giovinco out of it, because Giovinco's.
Oh, and by the way, Robles did start.
Yeah, I know. So the streak is on. I'm glad we talked about it. Uh-huh. BWP in the running for the non-Giovinco MVP. I mean, we haven't talked about him at all. We talked about his legacy last time and all the great things done. Golden Boot tied for a team that's at the top right now. I mean, is he in the conversation?
I think he is. No doubt he is. Look, if the Red Bulls finish atop that and he leads the league in goals scored.
If they don't win the Supporters' Shield.
I don't think they're going to win the Supporters' Shield.
You're saying top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I'm saying top of the Eastern Conference and that terrible start they had. They will have ridden on his back and on Sasha's back to the top of the table. And I think he's got an argument there. And if the rest of the Red Bulls get into campaign mode, which Kleshchen kind of has already done with him, saying, hey, don't look at me, BWP is right here, then I think he's got a great chance. I mean, that's a big part of this is politics.
Right.
MVPs come down to that. And a lot of guys got lucky that Giovinco got hurt because it looked like he was going to run away with this thing. But a big win for them. Vancouver.
It's painful.
Oh, I don't know what this. They've got the worst form in the league right now. It's not even close, actually. They have, they're on Revs territory. 5 losses in their last 6. And they've won 1 game, it looks like, in 10.
Yeah.
So they've got to figure something out, and they got to figure it out pretty quick. Chicago is a team that is figuring it out. Who would have thought? 3-0 win against the Union. And after this one, Jim Curtin says, throw the table out the window. That doesn't matter. Anybody in this league can beat anybody. And they proved it right here. Bigger win for Chicago, bigger loss for Philly.
I think bigger win for Chicago, even though Bedoya is new. He's a big part of what they do, and Blake wasn't there, and that's a huge part of their spine. Chicago also did it without David Akam. And that, to me, to score 3 goals without the one guy who's been an offensive pressure maker, a creator for your team, there were times this season where he missed for injury, and in Chicago had no ideas. So to score 3 goals without him is huge. To score some goals to get a little bit of life in your team, it's going to be tough.
Not like they're completely out of it.
If they can do what Orlando did last year, which was just have the excitement and energy of the playoff run, even if you don't make it, but be alive the last 2 weeks, I think that would be big for this squad and for the fan base.
Just a little scouting report hint for Ken Tribbett, which, he wasn't Ken Tribbett on this play. Arturo Alvarez is going to go left. He's always going to go left. You got to take away that left foot. Really, really good move from
Andrew
Arturo.
Andrew Weeby moving back to center back this week for his club team, and he's getting ready.
Yeah, I'm not going to cover myself in glory. Yeah.
33 minutes for Bethlehem Steel getting the captain's armband. That's a big one to see
that
for them.
That is. Rolling back for the Union, they're just trying to set it up for the stretch run. Just want to be at their best in October and then November, assuming they make the playoffs. New England is a team that I mentioned that their form had been dreadful. They finally got a win. They broke that 6-game winless streak. 5 losses in there. Also, 373 minutes without a goal. Look at that roster. That should not be happening. But they beat the Rapids 2-0. The Rapids' inability to score, some timely finishing from the Revs, and they're smiling, and they're just 2 points out of the playoffs.
I'm not going to say that this is the reason why, but the Revs Midnight Riders supporters group made a Hamilton-themed Taylor 12-man
I thought this was
going to
be
TIFO,
real analysis.
And they won. Here's the real analysis. Kai Kamara away with Sierra Leone scores a goal. New England, not having Kai Kamara, scores 2 for the first time in 373 minutes. You got to look at that. If you're Jay Heaps, you have to look at that. Matt has talked about for a while how they don't fit together. Lee Wynn didn't finish. I mean, he missed the PK. He hit the post. But the one he hit the post on was the classic Lee Wynn of when he scored all those goals 2 years ago, where he cuts in and slowly tries to, drop it back to that post.
Yeah, he suckers you into thinking he's going to go one
and
way
goes,
and then
no
just kind of slow rolls. Yeah.
Agudelo gives them some movement. I don't think you can walk away from a lineup that gets a result, even if he's a big-name player.
Yeah, that's a good point. They got some decisions
now,
to make.
Now, of course,
out there.
Kai's the perfect guy to put on the bench and just take one for the team. Apparently, Sierra Leone's manager didn't want him, and he was forced on him by the FA. So everything coming up sunny right now.
Yeah, look, a super talented player, but they've got some decisions to make. Looking around here as well, Dallas 3-1 winners against Portland. Timbers missing Nagby and Alvis Powell, so you have Valeri, you have Adi, you've got the rest of the team.
It was a strong team for them,
and
that should be upsetting to how lifeless.
But this is Dallas coming back and saying, you know, we doubted them. We definitely did. We said, hey, without Fabi, what are they going to do up top? I'm throwing Carlos Ruiz out as a forward replacement for them. And they're like, yeah, whatever, man. We don't care. 51 points, 1.82. They're pulling away.
Yeah.
They got a real chance here to get the double. I think that they'll probably win the Shield, although Toronto FC could go on a crazy run at home over the last, you know, 2 months of the season here. And with the Open Cup at home, the odds are with them. And a double is a special thing. That's we cannot poo-poo that. No matter what competitions are, that's a really special thing. So something to follow in the coming days. LA Galaxy also winners against Columbus Crew SC. Two of the better goals you will see scored in this game. Bajio Husidic doing his Steven Gerrard impression, going laser beam top corner from far out. Well done to him. And then Giovanni Dos Santos.
That's what he does. Just
always with a side of chip.
Oh, man.
I mean, oh, so my God. Good. He's so close to the goal.
Yeah.
Like, how did he get that?
He's been doing it. That's what happens when you do something for 15 years of your life. Like, that is automatic for him. He doesn't think about that. And it comes out perfectly, and that's why he's a top-level player.
Yep, beautiful stuff. One thing before we go in this segment, Kubo Torres, loaned, Cruz Azul. Estadio Azul.
With an option to buy.
Yes.
Which is tough because that means you send him out to get time, he does well, and you lose him.
Right.
Which kind of to me says, whatever happens, we want the roster spot and we want the DP spot. We don't want Kubo.
And hopefully some allocation. I mean, it just hasn't worked out for him in Houston. Things just didn't go as planned. I don't think the Owen Coyle era was the right coaching style for him. We know he can produce in MLS, so it's a little bit heartbreaking because I think a lot of people were really happy when he landed with the Dynamo, but just didn't work out for him, at least in this stint. We'll see what happens with Cruz Azul. He could be back or he could be headed to Liga MX permanently. Good luck, Kubo Torres. A little note for you before we go to the mailbag. We got some good mail, but we do also have midweek games for you. Montreal hosting Orlando, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. TSN up north, MLS Live here in the States, and then Real Salt Lake, LA Galaxy. This is a classic. It's been a good one over the last, I don't know, 8 or so years in MLS. MLS Live as well, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. By the way, MLS Live, 50% off. MLSsoccer.com is where you can get it. Let's head to the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Towards the bright horizon, sail away.
Figured you need to chill. Coming back in here, it's Tuesday after Labor Day. Andrew Wiebe, David Goss with you. We're into the mailbag. Congratulations to Killer 007 for a win in our fantasy league, 101 points. Also tying with Timberstown, who got 101 points. Then Top Shelf just below with 100. Remember, those midweek games this week are going to make the deadlines jump up on you. So get out to fantasy.mlssoccer.com. Set your team. Get it going. This is crunch time, not just in MLS, but for your fantasy team as well. With that, into the mailbag, Dave. What do we got?
Cameron Scott, a man from my own heart. Doyle, you must be inebriated. Luciano is on a different plane than Boucher. Well, he is on his day off. And it is nowhere close. Acosta is technically head and shoulders above most, if not all, the players on DC United. Boucher or Vincent have none of this skill within them. Never in their lives. No players on DC United have this within them. I don't know about never. Oh, never in their lives.
Right.
Not never in DC United's history.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. You got some really talented technical players in DC's history.
Jaime Moreno. Cameron.
Echeverry. Christian Gomez.
Yeah.
We go on and
Christian
on.
Gomez, yeah. Legend. Cameron, I am on board 100% with what you're saying. I will die on this hill happily. Luciano Acosta is a star. He gets you up out of your seat every time. He clips the ball over guys and jumps over them. He beats two defenders. He just has to start finishing it off a little bit more. But, man.
He's special. He's special. And he's a guy that DC hasn't had the last couple of years. That's a big part of it, too. I think that's why people look at him and they're just like, oh, they salivate a little bit because it's been so workmanlike from them for a while now. I mean, who would be the guy before this that you could kind of put in that? Maybe a Di Rosario? I mean, Espíndola had that at times, but he's more of a direct player. He's not really that
Gallardo
type of guy.
Gallardo was never healthy.
No.
Luciano Emilio was
more the finisher.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wasn't the flair guy. No,
like
I would agree.
We're inevitably going to miss somebody here.
There's we are definitely
be some 10 that we just spaced out. But Buskovic, yeah.
But when did he play?
I know. It's a good point.
No,
a good point.
He never played.
It's a good point.
I think it's back to Christian Gomez.
Yeah, probably.
Let's move on to the real stars, though, because Mr. Steve Borg played the other day.
Yes.
Phil Bonds emails. He says, check out the lineups from Malta versus Scotland World Cup qualifying number 15. Is he related to Simon?
Is he Simon? I don't know. Simon took like a really convenient break that just happened to align with the international
break. I've never seen Steve and Simon Borg in the same place
together.
That's
a really good point. Never in the same room. I mean, I've heard them spoken of. I just generally assume that all Borgs are from the from his clan.
As Simon has explained, it's one of the most common names on the island,
right.
So there's no chance they're related.
No, probably not. But it's fun to imagine.
Yeah.
Could be really fun. Let's see. Last one for you here. Matt Christie in Atlanta. He's a season ticket holder. Dave, he's just confused about Nigel de Jong. He wants to know why there wasn't a transfer fee.
Yeah, so they terminated the contract, if you saw the way it was reported. And
mutually termination there.
Clearly, LA didn't want to pay for him with what was coming up, with the amount of games if he played this year and the potential of being a DP next year. So rather than fight for that transfer fee, I think they said, let's just get this situation solved. I think it ends up good for both parties, not best. And that's how it
worked ultimately
out.
They got what they both wanted. That's how a deal gets done. Big thanks to Jeff Carlisle for joining us today. Better luck next time on that travel, Jeff. Thank you to you, Dave. I'm Andrew Wiebe. We will see you on Thursday.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.